everyone, to today's very special episode of Be Freaking Awesome. I am one of your hosts, Sammy Kinnison, here with Angela Belford, and we are here celebrating episode 100 of Be Freaking Awesome. Woo-hoo! Oh, yeah. Dance. Yeah.
Dance.
Crushing it. Hope you guys are watching the YouTube where you can see us actually dancing. This is an encouragement for everybody out there listening to the audio only. You should go check out the video version because we had a lot of fun. Angela, how do you feel? Episode 100.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to say I'm shocked. I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to be like, well, of course we're hitting the 100th episode. When I first started, this was the goal, was 100 episodes, because there was a person that I wanted to have on my podcast, and he will not be on podcast unless you've been on 100 episodes. And so now that we're here, it's sort of like, wow, that's there's a crazy consistency to it. I have struggled different points in my life of having this weird voice in my head tell me that I'm flaky, that I like to do lots of things, which I think is ADD stuff, you know. But then when you like show up and you get the 100 episodes in a row, I mean, you know, in just barely over 2 years, you know, we started in November of 21. And so just a little over 2 years, we've already gotten 100 episodes with our weekly thing. That's amazing. This year in 2024, we're going to be celebrating 25 years in business. So pretty much I had to do this a couple of years ago. I had to go, okay, well, what is your definition of flaky? Like, where's the evidence to prove that you're flaky? Because there's no. So it feels good. What about you? You've been here for 50 of the episodes.
Yeah, 50. Well, I've been around for longer, I would say, because I was editor and producer, my self-made title at the time, for a good number. I went on a maternity leave, sure, but I did it for a lot of the first 50 and then have been co-host for the second 50. I feel really good about it. I really love our conversations. One thing I don't love sometimes, I'm going to be honest, is that our real life conversations get weird because we're podcast hosts, because we'll be like, oh, wait, hold it. Hold that thought. That's really great. But we need to be recording ourselves having this conversation about this cool thing. I don't want to like spoil any reactions for other people. So sometimes I don't think I anticipated that our real world conversations, which, you know, one could argue then that they're podcast worthy, but there are occasionally times where we're like, we have to stop. This is too good for the podcast. Hold it. Save it. We're recording on Tuesday. Let's go. Or whatever it is.
Well, number one, we rarely record on Tuesdays. So
I'm sorry. We record on Friday.
Typically. That's hilarious.
Our episodes come out on Tuesdays. Way to reveal the magic that we don't record on Tuesdays.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sitting here looking at even my... the way my hair looks right now, and I know that there's an upcoming episode that I recorded. I love the magic of the internet. Now, we typically, you know, I mean, we're efficient with our recording, so we do attempt to record those in advance, which you often hear, you know, we'll say, when this is being recorded, it was fun. We were, the one episode I'm thinking about, we had to tell the people, we're like, don't ask us about Thanksgiving. Don't ask us about Christmas. This is a January episode. Please don't talk about the holidays.
We literally said, we're going to time travel for an hour. Wow. Welcome to 2024. It's great here. Look at everything. It's nice. So shiny and new. Gosh.
Anyway,
it's a good time.
I do love that part about being a podcast host. I'll tell you the other thing that I like about having a podcast is that... Okay. So I had a friend years and years ago, and I was like, I can't even believe that you do a weekly podcast. That's crazy. And he goes, Angela, it keeps me on my toes. Like, I'm always having to stay up. He did a marketing podcast. I always have to stay up to date with stuff. And there's a consistency and there's a discipline that it builds. And I was just like, that's crazy town. I like this because it gives me, I'm always looking at things from the idea of how can I share information? So I love it. I'm excited, and I don't feel like, okay, we got 100, we're out, you know, we've already been like plotting and planning, you know, the next 50 episodes. We kind of think in those terms.
Like, I do want to call you out for just the briefest moment, though, because even though we're not like 100, we're all done. When you published Traveling Light, there was a moment where you were like, so are we done with the podcast? Because sort of the point of it at a certain point in time, the purpose of the podcast had been to help build up to and promote the book. So then once the book came out, I think you went through a little bit of like a quarter life crisis with the podcast of like, so now what? Now what are we doing? What's the point of this? We're out of things to talk about. The book is published. I was like, that's hilarious that you think that we won't find something new to talk about.
I just pulled my eye muscle, rolling my eyes at myself.
You know, it's surprising to me that you're still pulling muscles in your eyes, considering how often you roll your eyes. Like, you would think those muscles are fully stretched out by now. But
I know, three teenagers, you would have thought that those would have been like permanent muscle memory. But no. I think part of the reason why I'm rolling my eyes at that idea of like, oh, well, is the podcast done? Is like, I have three different manuscripts on my computer that I'm... So the book writing's not done. So that is part of why that is funny to me that I said that. I guess that's probably what we should make note of when we do and say silly things that we later figure out. That was kind of funny.
Yeah. So I think just taking a moment, we've kind of talked about this briefly. We've talked about this before, but I really want to be intentional with drawing the journey of how we have gotten to here. Also for people to realize that you don't get to 100 podcast episodes overnight and you still can do it. And it's not like we are crazy, extraordinary people who did something magical and that's how we got this. No, we did something air quotes magical called being consistent. And that's how we got to 100. So this podcast started in November of 2021. That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Why?
Because I was writing a book. Mm-hmm. And I was actually participating in a challenge by another author friend of mine that was, can you do something consistently for 90 days, something small? And so it was, can you spend 15 minutes a day working on one of the ones I chose was 15 minutes a day working on your platform. So your platform can be anything from working on your email newsletter to content creation, to blogs, to, you know, something that is going to add value to the world. And from that, you know, beginning to do that, it's like, well, if you're going to send a consistent email, you're already creating consistent content. Okay. Podcasts are a pretty great way. And I think that I read the number of blogs to podcasts is like 6 to 1. So it's still, while it feels like everybody has their podcast, there are definitely, it is a smaller number than blogs, for instance. And so originally we did it as a way to like talk to people about the book, to explore the concepts, to talk about the first book that I had done, because I'd not really marketed that. So the first, you know, 8 to 10 episodes are actually kind of walking you through Be Freaking Awesome book. And then we published the book. It took, instead of a year, it took 2 years. And even that, I guess, is a game of perseverance. And I've spent a lot of time here and other places kind of reconciling that idea. It's very interesting now as I'm starting the next book or two and feeling like I have my mindset more aligned with kind of expectations that feel better. I'm not crying starting. That's actually new. I'm starting a book and I'm not crying the whole time. Woo! I didn't wait 7 years. Woo! technically, I didn't even wait till the first one was, you know, this one was done. I joked with a friend of mine that I was unpacking my next book while I was prepping for the book launch party for Traveling Light. And so we kind of laughed about that. And anyway, so there's some elements of it where it's the more I do of this sort of thing, the easier it is on my nervous system. I'm not so hyped up, so fight or flight, freaked out about different things because quite frankly, there's a lot of opportunity to do stuff not well. Like, there are definitely episodes that I'm like, wow, that is like my least favorite episode we ever did. There are episodes that I'm like, gosh, I wish I could go re-record that concept, which, I mean, we can always revisit them. And yet it shows my brain, look, you survived. But you have a lot to say about failure. So jump on in there.
I do have a lot to say about failure. As we sort of are thinking about this episode and also in that end of year, beginning of year time frame, within a lot of like my reflection practices, I have been intentional to reflect upon past failures. I think that I endeavor to think that failures should be celebrated. There's a difference between I actually think and I am working hard to think. That failure should be celebrated. I just want to clarify the communication nuanced difference between I'm trying to think this. But as a recovering perfectionist, failure, I think, is an important part of our journey. And noting and celebrating our failures, to me, it's celebrating that I tried and that I survived. And as somebody who, when going forward with new things, constantly that fear that like, well, what if it doesn't work out? And it's like, well, right. You had other things that didn't work out and you're fine and you survived. And sometimes it was for the better that it didn't work out. Like sometimes you can look back and be like, wow, I'm so glad I didn't get that job or that opportunity passed or whatever it might look like, because these other great things were awaiting me and I had no idea. And so taking a moment in your reflections to actually celebrate and highlight failures, I think is really helpful. I think it also gives us the chance to note progress and to see something that once was devastating. You did survive and you're now at a different spot where it may not be quite so devastating. And I also still think it's important to celebrate big wins, which is what this whole episode is really about for us, is celebrating celebration for the sake of it, really. Why is celebration important? Hitting 100 episodes in and of itself is a big milestone. We sort of in this thing of like holding both together, failures and celebrations. You know, I'm disappointed at times that our podcast doesn't have more people who listen to it. That's something that like I would love to have, you know, 100 listens per episode. And we don't right now. Like our top episode has 100 listens and that's about it. And everything else, you know, has less than 100 listens. And anyway, so there are things like that where it's not perfect. It is not exactly what we, you know, what I would hope it would be. And I still think it's a really big deal to get to 100 episodes. And cumulatively, we have over 3,000 listens to all of our episodes. That to me counts for a big something as well, even mm-hmm. if it's not 100 listens per episode. And so anyway, I lost what point I was trying to make with this, the train that I was following. But celebration in general is important and is a really big part of moving forward, attaining goals, reflecting on goals. I think that taking the practice to pause and reflect back on where you've been really, really matters and is beneficial.
I agree 100%. In Be Freaking Awesome, I encourage people to first make a list of 100 successes that you've had, which I tried to do this the first time when I was 28 and it seemed impossibly hard. And then I take it the next step in Be Freaking Awesome to try to find 5 successes of the day. And maybe it's 5 wins for the day, 5 things that went well. Sometimes we have to play tricks on our brain. I don't love the idea of like just keeping this huge log of failures. I love the idea of keeping a log of things that I tried that didn't work the way I thought they would. And maybe I know, again, I play tricks on my brain sometimes because it just doesn't feel right to my body. It's still, and 20 years of being a positive thinking evangelist, conceptually the idea of like showing your brain, look, I survived that. And I survived that. I do love that, but there is still something that I just like it. I fight against it.
Yeah. I remember one time I was listening to a podcast. I'm 90% sure it was Adam Grant who said this, that he keeps a failure resume. And part of it to remind him of all the things that haven't worked out, to show things don't work out. And yet here you are, you've survived these things, and not everything goes perfectly all the time. And I remember telling you about that, and you were like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I love Adam Grant, and no, thank you. Like, do not keep a failure resume, Sammy. No, don't do it.
I think for me, it's because the negative voices in my head tend to use that evidence in a way that is unhelpful to me when I'm tired, when I'm hungry, when I'm stressed out. And I think that's what's hard for me, is that it feels like it's just arming them. Like, I get conceptually what it is. And I mean, I wrote Traveling Light to try to learn how to do battle with my inner critic. And I think that it feels too new to me to be that,
explicit.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I kind of have to trick my brain a little bit and just be like, no, it is good. You have survived lots of things, but man, oh man, my inner critic can use that stuff to just grind my action to a halt. And I have experienced the complete and total like freezing effect of that. And so that's why it's very hard for me to advocate for that idea. Make a list now and again. Yes. Once a year, review for the year, what didn't work out, things that, you know, like that, here's the goals that I set, here's the goals I did not accomplish, so that I can make adjustments so that I can move forward next year. Yes. And if you need to keep that on a, if you want to keep that on a Google Drive where it's easy to find, that's fine. But there's just something I just innately, I can't get behind this huge idea, because my inner critic for me was crippling for so many years. I mean, I look at the Be Freaking Awesome book launch and getting that book out there, and it was utterly crippling. Could not even do it. Panic attacks and anxiety attacks that just were insurmountable at the time, and couldn't move forward. And so I struggle a lot. Clearly, here I am. After at the beginning of this episode, I was like, oh, I don't think I'm as adamantly opposed as I was a couple of years ago. But as I just sit here and ponder it, I'm like, golly, I just can't imagine arming my inner critic with that kind of crap.
Well, what's interesting though, is that there are times where you told me a story about you were challenged in Mary Kay to get 10 no's in a row, to seek out 10 failures in a row, one could say. And you failed at that. You could not get 10 no's in a row because somebody would say yes. And so I think that there, again, it's another way to sort of like shift perspective, change how we're thinking about something, where, you know, the thing that one of the things I'm afraid of going into this next year is just really tackling this coaching journey more wholeheartedly and more full on. And it's like, well, what if people say no? And there's a part of it that like, okay, so what? So what if people say no? Go find 10 people to say no to coaching. Go find 10 people in a row to tell you no, they don't want any coaching, because I will probably fail at that endeavor to get 10 people to say no, and look at what you've achieved along the way. And so for me, where I have had to do a lot of work is reframing failure as attempts, because my fear of failure will keep me from trying. It will keep me from stepping into the arena, and it will keep me from doing anything at all, which I think is a bigger failure than what we would, then, you know, getting a no, getting a rejection, failing in that sense shows that you tried, you put yourself out there, you were vulnerable, and you survived. And so I think for me, my failures that I'm tracking and reflecting on are the, you can continue trying because you're going to survive rejection and you're going to survive the, you know, different, the dreams not going exactly as you wanted or things not going as fast as you wanted. And up to the point where you aren't there to notice that you didn't survive, you're still going to survive things 100%. Why not thrive versus sitting on the bench and not getting in the arena, which is the, this is a reference to the man in the arena quote from Theodore Roosevelt that Brene Brown uses a lot. I was like, some people think it's Brene Brown who said it, but even Brene Brown says, no, this is Theodore Roosevelt's speech from the 30s, that it's not the critic who counts. It is the man in the arena whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. And the other people in the arena are who I want to look to, not the people sitting on the sidelines pointing at me saying, oh, look how you have fallen. So to transition from kind of the sad failure talk, or what can feel sad, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate 100 episodes. Real quick, Angel, do you have a favorite podcast moment or a top podcast moment? It doesn't have to be like a number one favorite, but just something that stands out to you over these 100 episodes is something you've really enjoyed.
It's going to be a weird one.
Love it.
I was the, this happened just a few weeks ago, actually. Sammy is telling me all about her book club book and that she really thinks that I would love this book and she thinks that I would enjoy this book. And all of a sudden I went, I know the author. We should have him on the podcast. And I felt so cool. And then I sent him an Instagram. So cool. And then I sent him an Instagram. I was like, Mike, dude, I just got cool points because we're friends. We had a beer at a conference. I'm going to have a playlist of everybody that has on the podcast from World Domination Summit. And because Mike was one of those people. And anyway, so that was just a neat moment where I could just be like, yeah. Oh my gosh, I know this guy. And now look, we can talk to him. So anyway, I don't know that I got to talk to him because I was on a podcast, but I definitely, we're going to get to talk to him in a few weeks. So that's exciting. That was a fun moment. I will tell you one of my favorite episodes that I still get cracked up at is with Josh. We had a guest on from Australia and she was a life coach and she and I were in a small group thing. And so she ends up trying to explain, you know, her concept and she asks Josh, Josh had just been dating Abby, his now wife, for probably 3 months, I think at this point. And he ends up giving this example of like, I dip my chocolate chip cookies in my milk and I let them kind of break off so that at the bottom I have this soggy cookie thing and I hide that. People make fun of me. So I don't share it with Abby. And we end up like, he thinks he's giving us this like means nothing kind of goofy example of how he hides himself. And the life coach ends up like flipping it. And the whole episode turns into Josh on this. I should probably highlight which episode it was. This was pretty early on. This was like March of 22. And so that one was one of my favorites because he got totally caught off guard. Josh caught people off guard all the time. Like my friend Lisa, she, you know, is going to talk about being a life coach. And he's like, tell me this related to, you know, disc golf. And she did. I was recently on her podcast and we got to kind of laugh about what a goofy thing that was. So those were some fun episodes to have. The other kind of weird moment for me, and I don't even know if we've talked extensively on the podcast that, you know, we, our number one episode, in case you don't know, is It's Okay to Die with my friend Nathan. And back in November, Nathan did pass. I had thought I was going to do an episode about Nathan and that didn't work out. And so it just was a little too raw. Anyway, I was at the viewing for Nathan's the day before his funeral. And so his family members and this person whips around and goes, you're the podcaster, because she recognized my voice. And she was just,
that's
like,
funny.
Oh, my gosh. I listen to the podcast, and then I have a little Bible study group and we all pray for Nathan. So we all listen to it together. So I've listened to that episode like four times. And so I recognized your voice. And I was like, did you listen to the second one where we did It's Okay to Live? And she's like, no, I'm so excited. And so anyway, so that was fun. Those are kind of some of my interesting moments. As
you literally have never told me that. This is my very first time hearing that somebody recognized your podcast voice. You've told me before about people recognizing your flippy hair, that people will be like, you were on the plane at this place and we like had a whole thing. And so that's so fun that somebody recognized your voice. I think so for me, one of my favorite podcast moments was having my best friend on the podcast, Ashlyn, and I loved that. I also think it helped reset my perspective because, Ashlyn, if you're listening, sorry to out you on this. She was so nervous about being on the podcast and she was like, oh my gosh, like, am I important enough? Do I have important enough things to say to be on a podcast? And like, oh my gosh, like what? And like, there kind of was a lot of this imposter syndrome that came up for her. We had another guest as well, I remember, who's close to my age, who felt similar things. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's kind of just a podcast. You just do it. Like, you just say whatever you want. Like, who cares? I say whatever I want.
But I loved Ashlyn's work too. When they heard about it, like, oh my gosh, you were on a podcast. Yeah. We want to share it everywhere. And we were like, oh, cool. Oh yeah, we're cool. Yeah.
They like reached out and asked permission. Can we share this? Are we allowed to share this? And I'm like, please share it. Get more people to listen. Go. Sounds great. Love it. Like, of course. Do you want the raw file? Like, what do you want? Anyway. But there are times where I forget that, like, for some people, being a podcaster is like a goal to achieve. Like, I want to be a podcaster. I want to go do this thing. And I'm like, oh, I like do that every week. What do you mean? Like, I kind of, and so it's a good level setting for me and a good perspective shift and reminder of like, no, this is an accomplishment, not just a work thing to do. It's, it is it is cool. It's a good thing. It's a title I could bear and put on a business card if I so chose. Could go to conferences because I'm a podcaster. And anyway, I don't know.
It is cool. And besides the cool factor, because, you know, you nor I were the cool kids in high school. We kind of created our own little cool kids.
Which is so funny because as adults, we are cool kids, but in high school, we definitely weren't cool kids. And it's really interesting.
I remember having to explain that to you. And when you were in school, like, just don't worry, you'll be fine. In the real world, you will be very cool. But because we're not very good at fitting in. We're very good at like creating our own space.
I'll keep going. We can have a whole other episode about what it means to be cool. We'll put a pin in this, everybody who's like, wait, that sounded like an interesting rabbit trail. Don't you worry. I'm going to write this down on the list and it'll be a 2024 episode about what does it mean to be cool and how you're not cool in high school or junior high, but you can be cool as an adult. Okay. We're going to come back to it because this is a really cool rabbit trail. What were you going to say, Angela, before the rabbit trail? Did I lose it because I
totally made lost a big it deal? For me? Yes, because you made it such a big deal. Well, I think that there is an element where, in addition to being cool, what I find it is cool. Let me try not to use cool 7,000 times. The goal for me is to add value to the world. I would say that is probably one of my like largest overarching like life goals is I want to add value to the world. And so for me, the very fact that people use some of these podcast episodes as resources is super fulfilling. That's the word I'm looking for. Fulfilling for me, because we have one episode that I could not figure out why it was always in the top five. And then we find out that there's a couple of therapists in our area that use it. And ironically, I was telling that story to a person that I had met like at a networking event. And it that episode, for those that don't know, I think episode 22 or 23, it's about the attachment disorder. And are you an anxious or avoidant attachment style? And stay tuned. We will be talking a lot more about that because that's one of the book topics that I've got coming up. But the person I was talking to was telling the story, telling them about this episode. And they were like, wait, what was that episode number? Because my therapist just yesterday was trying to explain anxious avoidant attachment style and wanted me to do some research. So can I listen to that? And I was like, yes, you can. So that is so worthwhile to me. Like, that's why we do this. There are times where we'll have an episode and I'm like, yes, but who's going to get value from that? And who's going to, and then it'll be something that'll be very surprising to me that somebody will you know, mention that resonated deeply with them.
One of the things that I think is really neat just about the content that you create and just within Be Freaking Awesome in general is I think we take really big things and we break them down into a more consumable level.
Approachable.
Sure. Well, the word consumable I use specifically. Okay. When there are some times where I've talked to people about what Traveling Light is about, and they're like, oh, I've heard of another book, or I started reading another book that sounds similar, The Body Keeps the Score by Besser Van De Kolk. And you're like, yes, this is very similar. And I would say that The Body Keeps the Score is probably more like a collegiate PhD level, whereas Traveling Light is going to be more like elementary, junior high. And it's not to say that like, oh, it's bad because it's a basic level. But if you have not passed elementary school, how could you read a textbook for a PhD student? And likewise, if you're in college, you're like, wow, the PhD might be just enough of a stretch. Whereas, and then you go back to elementary school, you're like, yeah, I've known this for a long time. But if you are just entering the space of understanding how your emotions impact your body, impact how you behave, how your past history can affect your day to day. If you're just wading into that space and you jump into a book like The Body Keeps the Score, like the couple of people who I talked to are like, yeah, I never got through it because it's so weighty and meaty and harder to consume. That's why I use that word. Whereas if you can start with something like Traveling Light, if you can start with even our podcast episodes about anxious, you know, attachment disorder and different things like that, even imposter syndrome and other stuff. If this is a new concept for you, this is a really good place to start to get some entry level thoughts, to get some different perspectives. I do think that it is still worthwhile for people who might be past elementary level. I'm not saying it's only for people who are needing the introduction to things, but within that, I still think sometimes it's important to go back a step to be like, do I really understand this at a base level, at a foundational level? Do I understand this concept? And can that help me teach it to other people, explain it better, debate both sides more? And I think that's one of the really cool benefits of how we try to approach topics is not from, okay, people who are really deep into the like psychological side effects of pain on the body. Let's talk to those people. That's usually not the people who we are looking at as the audience, but it's more the everyday person who's like, feel your feelings sounds important, but I don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would also say that what I try to do in addition to make it consumable and approachable is you're not in it alone. Like, there's elements of it where I know people who it is very hard for them to talk about the things that have happened to them in the past because they just want to put it behind them. And there's an element where when I can be open and transparent with some of the things that have happened to me and do it in a way that often I think what I aim for is kind of a playful like telling of the things that happened to me so that it does not always have to be, I am on my way to my therapist now, and we are going to be very super serious and we are going to talk through this. The other thing is that when you're talking about like, if you're advanced going back, I know that one of the highest compliments that I got was from a therapist who actually endorsed the book saying, even if you've done this for years, and especially if you're a therapist, this book does a great job of reminding you of the basic level that your clients are at and being giving you you know, some verbiage that is very entry level so that that way you can really help your clients, because talking over their heads doesn't help them. And so just the, like the stories that I tell, the examples that I give are really designed to make it where it doesn't feel like you're by yourself. You know, I tell stories of having raving arguments with my husband in the middle of San Francisco, and you fill in the blanks of your raving lunatic artic, you know, fight that you have
moments
with your, yeah, spouse or whatever, and you're like, oh, I'm not the only one.
Yeah,
so
I think that's cool. I think we accomplished these things. What else would you like to celebrate about 100 episodes? What things would you like to note?
Well, I would say that I remember episode 11 terrified me. And the reason why is because there were 10 chapters in Be Freaking Awesome. So I knew what the first 10 episodes were about. And then we got to 11 and I'm like, oh my gosh. And there are times where, like, I have somebody that I, you know, I got life coach certified through the life coach school, and Brooke Castile is over 400 episodes. And I just think, oh my goodness, I can't even imagine that you have something to talk about. And clearly there are things that she has talked about multiple times, and just the way we think about things, and golly, how much we're learning about the brain. And I am gonna nerd out this next year telling you guys about the book, The Good Life, which is a book about the Harvard study on that they've been doing since 1938 on what makes life good. And so Sammy probably eventually will get really tired because I quote it all the time. I love this book so much. And so I want to celebrate the fact that I don't, when I get tempted to think, what am I going to talk about? I need to remember and remind myself that life is a journey. We only arrive in the coffin. Until then, we just keep moving forward. And so I want to celebrate the fact that I have things, I'm thinking of things to talk about for the next 50 episodes, things that I think will continue to add value for people, things that I think it's not going to be in depth, perhaps. I mean, we've gotten a little bit of, you know, pushback from people that are like, oh, your podcast episodes are so long. And I'm like, I know, but I don't, everything is 1.5 minutes. I hate that. I want to unpack things. I want to talk through things. I want to have a conversation. I want to get to know people a little bit. And so I'm proud of that. That I keep pushing hard for us to be, you know, in depth, but I don't want to talk about it if there's not more to say, you know,
right.
But I also don't want to cut us off and just have these just super saccharine kind of things, which maybe that's the reason why we have less than 100 views per thing. Maybe what I want to provide to people is not what, you know, there's tons of people right now that we found that need those. So that's okay.
That's yes. And we, even though we don't have 100 people who are listening per episode, there are still people who are listening to every single episode. There are no episodes out there with zero listens. So
sure.
You can't say that nobody needs this or nobody wants this.
Yeah.
Somebody right now is listening to us talk about them, listening to this episode.
Yeah.
So meta, breaking the fourth wall.
Crazy town.
I really love that. I love to celebrate that we are continuing to do it. I have another question that I didn't tell you I was going to ask, so take your time answering. Why is the podcast still called Be Freaking Awesome, despite there being a new book called Traveling Light and more books on the way?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I would say we went through this probably about a year ago when we were like, what is our platform? And this is evidenced by, you know, in the top 5 episodes, it's, you know, number 1 episode, what is Be Freaking Awesome? And also in the top 5 is revisiting Be Freaking Awesome. I believe that the concept of Be Freaking Awesome is that it is a way of being. It is not a one and done there's not a, it's an ongoing way to think about your life. And one of my favorite kind of off podcast things that you did was a reel last year when I was in Costa Rica and I rappelled down waterfall. I have to say, I was like in the waterfall going, this is 50. Oh my gosh. It's amazing. And you added to the reel, you jumping in the bounce house for the, with your kid's birthday party. And you were like, whether you are rappelling in Costa Rica or you are jumping because you have littles in your bounce house, both of these are freaking awesome. This is a way to be in your life, is to be freaking awesome, is not, it doesn't have to be this superlative thing. And there's people that have definitely kind of pushed back and they were like, yeah, but by calling it freaking awesome, like you're on purpose trying to push people to try to be superlative. And I'm like, yeah, but if you listen long enough, you know that it's being wholehearted. It's showing up for your people. It's being present when you're there, not on your phone all the time. It's reading, it's learning, it's growing, it's accepting your limitations. It's accepting disappointment. It's accepting that even though we do this, that there's not as many people as we want listening. We're grateful for the people that do listen. We are like over the moon about the people that tell us why they like the episodes. Like, I mean, you just want to give us some love. And someone, you know, asked me, hey, how do you make money being a podcaster? I'm like, I have no idea because I don't do it for that. And I sort of believe in the, I guess, in karma, I guess, that which you send the lives of others comes back to you tenfold. And so for me, this is just a way to continue to add value in the world. And value is returned to me in so many different ways. It is like putting, you know, money in one part of the chocolate machine and a different part of the chocolate machine, something comes out. I don't know. Maybe that's a weird metaphor, but it's not this direct trading time for money sort of a thing. The idea also for me is that like, as we endeavor to grow our coaching and personal development business over the next year, if somebody wants to know how we are going to show up and do a workshop for their business, how we're going to show up and coach them, you have over 100 hours of content that you can get to know a whole lot about us. And, you know, right now I need to do some more to build my speaking career. I need more video of me speaking in front of audiences. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't have that right now, but there is a ton of content that is available that someone can be able to be exposed to and understand like how I think about things and how what I'm going to teach and how I'm going to coach you. And so that's the indirect upside of this. That's the indirect, you know, way that you make money, is that it's building up our other businesses, is kind of the way I think about it.
I like the point you made also about how we are grateful for, even though it's not, you know, 100 listeners each episode, we are so grateful for each person. I remember the day that I came to you and was like, Mom, we have 12 people subscribed to our YouTube channel and I don't know who 8 of them are. Like, 8 strangers on the internet are subscribed to our YouTube channel. Like, it wasn't that it was 12. It was that it was 8 strangers. Like, oh my gosh, 8 strangers. They want to hear what we have to say. And I think that impact that we leave in the world, I think that is the freaking awesome way. Perfect. And trying to help encourage people. I also think there's just so much mundane and so much running on the hamster wheel to nowhere. I think a lot of that for people with the pandemic really got shaken around, and you had, for all of the horrible things that happened during the pandemic, there was also the opportunity that suddenly your life came to a halt and, or was shaken up in some way to evaluate, is this really what I want? Is this really what I want out of life? And for those of you who maybe had that moment where you said, no, this isn't what I want out of life, but I don't know how to get to where I want to get to, welcome. I hope that we can be fun tour guides along the way. You know, we were both orientation mentors at University of Arkansas, two different generations, but we can do the backwards walk on this emotional journey and say, to your left is the pit of unknown fear. We're going to look at that and we're going to try keep walking. Let's keep going this way. We're going to say over here to your right is where you can be sad. We welcome all feelings, like whatever it might look like. But I hope that this next year, this sort of is fun to think about us as orientation mentors doing like a little college tour of your brain and your feelings and your emotions and all of the things. Because we do want to make it fun, not just womp womp boring. I do think it's really interesting that sometimes our episodes about things like an episode about fun feels heavier than an episode about grief, which feels more playful. I've noticed a pattern that our topics that you would think would be the more breezy, light episodes end up being heavier. And the ones that you think are heavier are the opposite. So just be forewarned if you go back to listen. You'd be like, oh, this seems good. Making friendships as an adult. What a great episode. And be like, yeah, it gets kind of heavy. Don't worry. We're there to help guide you through it.
Fun February. We're going to have a lot of fun
February is coming up.
I'm so excited about this.
Except what's interesting is that, so I've been reading through Mike's book and I've got some heavy questions for him about the topic of fun. So here we go. Let's get ready.
That's funny. And yeah, we had a ton of fun. There's an episode coming up about grief in the workplace.
Yeah. Woo! Grief in the workplace. Super fun. Creating a habit of fun. Let's talk about the deepness of this and how serious it is.
I think we're big fans of irony around here.
We are really big fans of irony. Maybe we should change our theme song to Isn't It Ironic? Like Rain on Your Wedding Day. And I'm not going to sing it because people don't listen to us for my singing voice.
Oh my goodness. Where are we going?
Anyway, where are we going?
Where are we going?
We're on to the next 50. Yeah, like Angela mentioned earlier, we think about these in chunks of 50. I know that these are not seasons, and yet we just finished season 2 of Be Freaking Awesome in my brain and are starting season 3 of Be Freaking Awesome. We're going into season 3, and we'll see what that holds for us this next year. Mm-hmm. And we are going to do more things, do other things, do things of value. Maybe we may not actually do more things. We're going to do intentional things and valuable things. Isn't that clear? Isn't that great?
Yeah, I have a feeling we might talk a little bit about, we'll probably unpack a few of these books that I got coming down the pike. So,
oh yeah. Awesome. You know, some people use podcast episodes also. We did this where we reflected, did book club after Traveling Light came out. We might end up doing it the opposite for these next books, and maybe we start reflecting on chapters before. We'll see.
I wonder,
or give you an opportunity to play around with the idea of, yeah, you know, I've got to talk through this for a chapter.
Well, I would say that's probably going to happen, because the way I'm thinking about these, you know, to reference back our number one episode, It's Okay to Die, I think I talked about the fact that Nathan has asked me to write his book post-mortem. And so I'm working on that right now. And then I'm also, this is the unpopular part of the internet, is where I go like, oh, didn't I say that? But I said it 3 weeks ago when I recorded anyway, and you are going to hear it twice, but anyway, I don't like, sorry. Will you delete all of that, Kat, where I started on that? I love the idea of being able to unpack the books as they're coming, because one of them is going to be pretty easy. And then another one, I think, will take me the good solid year, because I'm going to have to do quite a bit more research on it. It's also interesting to hear you talk about that Traveling Light is so much easier to read than the Body Keeps Score, because one of the things, the feedback that I've gotten from folks is that it is a pretty meaty book, and it is, you know, it's a guide. It's not a skippity-doo-dah kind of a book. It's a guide.
Yeah.
And, and so it was cool, because I have a the audio version should be out anytime now. And so somebody was pre-listening to it with me and then got to do coaching with me. And they were like, oh, this was very helpful to kind of hear me tell the stories and that sort of thing. But I definitely think I'll be unpacking some ideas for my kind of longer book, the one that we're going to be talking a lot more about. Avoidant anxious attachment styles and abandonment. Because I'm the popular one for the parties, man. You want to talk about feel your feelings. Let's talk about death. Let's talk about grief. And let's talk about some abandonment. Everybody's going to want me at the party, right?
You know what's funny is that you and I definitely would describe ourselves as party starters. And with these topics and these content pillars, man, we are real party starters for sure.
I do think that's part of what makes it approachable, though, is because, like, I was thinking the other night, I'm like, writing a book about death and you used to do stand-up comedy. That's funny. That's some funny stuff. Like, there's something about this.
That's funny right there. I don't care who you are.
I don't care who you are. Well, thanks so much. I appreciate you joining me these last 50 episodes, Sammy. It has certainly been fun to be able
to. From what I hear from the listeners also, I think that people prefer me as a host to Josh. So, haha, take that, Josh. What are you going to do about it? You don't listen to these episodes.
Yep.
He's off busy doing work and married life and things. In any case, you got me to stay for season 3. So, woo-hoo! Here we go.
All righty.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks so much for celebrating 100 episodes with us. And here's to the next 100. Hope you guys go have a freaking awesome day.